Support for KPLU comes from SF Jazz, presenters of the San Francisco Fall Festival and Spring Season. A full schedule of events, including the opening of the new SF Jazz Center and a list of artists, is at sfjazz.org.
Hello and welcome to Jazz Northwest, our regular Sunday afternoon survey of the regional jazz scene. Today we'll present a concert by the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, recorded last June, a program billed as Jazz of the Harlem Renaissance, all acoustic jazz. The intent of this concert was to present the music as much as possible in the style of the way it was performed at the Apollo Theater, famous Harlem dance hall and variety hall, and billed as all acoustic jazz. We couldn't bring you the concert with no microphones at all, so we chose to use a minimum number of microphones, as might have been used around that time, to bring you as much of the acoustic feel to it as possible. Another special feature of this concert is the narrator for this concert, who will be telling you about each selection of music as we listen to it. And that is co-host here at KPLU, Robin Lloyd. And as a special touch, we have a vintage microphone for her to use, an old RCA 44, the type that was used in broadcasts in the late 30s and through the 40s. Also, we'll have a special vocal guest a little later on. Misha Lake will be joining the orchestra for a couple of songs. So here to set the scene, Robin Lloyd.
By 1920, as a result of the Great Migration, Harlem became the mecca of African-American culture and society. For entertainment, people in Harlem gathered in restaurants, theaters, and dance halls, and they celebrated, among other things, this new jazz music that was being created in our country. Each day, Harlem's Apollo Theater opened its doors at 10 a.m., and night workers, housewives, and hooky-playing schoolchildren would shell out their nickels and dimes to enter a dream world where they were welcome to stay all day if they liked. And many, especially the kids, would stay all day, packing sandwiches or cold chicken from home, catching three or four or five shows a day, taking cat naps between the performances. It didn't even matter who was playing. The shows were always basically the same. First, a short film, maybe a cartoon, next, a newsreel, followed by the feature film, then a pause, silence. And at last, the master of ceremonies would announce to rising applause and screams from the audience, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime at the Apollo." The band would break into the Apollo's theme song, which is, "I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful." And the show was rolling. Now, in the swing era, big bands were an integral part of any Apollo show. Not only did they showcase their own talents and play their hit tunes, but they also played for all the acts on the bill. The chorus, the tap dancers, the acrobats, the singers, the comedians, and the animal acts. Several shows a day. So one week you could see the Nicholas Brothers dancing to the sounds of Jimmy Lunsford's orchestra, and the next time they came through, they might be playing with Duke Ellington or Claude Hopkins or Count Basie. Jimmy Lunsford's orchestra earned the enduring nickname Harlem Express. For 10 consecutive years, they were the best-loved attraction at the Apollo. Count Basie marveled that the band, the Lunsford Band, would start to rock, and they'd just rock all night long. And now here's our very own SRJO performing the 1920s hit Avalon in the swinging 1935 version as recorded by the Jimmy Lunsford Orchestra.
Thank you. I want to introduce our very special guest for the day, who is our singer. We brought her all the way from New Orleans, and please give a warm welcome to Mashiya Lake. Mashiya Lake. Here's Robin Lloyd to introduce the next piece.
Like the rest of Harlem in the late 1920s, Ella Fitzgerald was caught up in the dance craze that had people Lindy hopping in ballrooms such as the Savoy. At home, Ella would imitate dancers she saw, like Earl Snake Hips Tucker. And during her lunch hours in junior high school, she and her friends would sneak into theaters to watch the shows. But one day, the 15-year-old Ella Fitzgerald entered the Apollo Theater's amateur night competition. After drawing a short straw in a contest with two friends to decide which of them would perform, naturally, she planned to compete as a dancer. Ella describes the scene, "There I was, nervous as can be, 15 years old, with the skinniest legs you've ever seen, and I froze, I got cold feet. The man in charge said I better start doing something up there, so I said I wanted to sing instead. The audience was laughing." Ella decided to sing a song from one of her favorite performers, Connie Boswell, called "The Object of My Affection." And amazingly enough, the notoriously harsh Apollo audience stopped laughing and soon began clapping for more. Three encores later, and the $25 prize was mine, Ella wrote. So her illustrious career began. Now here's Mashiya Lake singing "A Tisket a Tasket," as recorded by Ella Fitzgerald with the Chick Webb Orchestra.
Thank you. don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket could be.
So do we, so do we, so do we, so do we, so do we.
I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again?
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it blue?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow basket.
Mashiach brought in today, and it's entitled Ain't No Man, but it's got another title as well. She'll tell you.
Well, the full title is Ain't No Sweet Man Worth the Salt of My Tears, which some of y'all might be able to relate to. I know I certainly can. This one comes from the heart. It was Mr. Bix Beiderbecke's second to last recording that he ever made on September the 8th, 1929, which also happens to be my birthday. A few years later. Sisters, aggravating misters, lend me your ears. There ain't no
Misha Lake, singing with the rhythm section of the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, Ain't No Sweet Man Worth the Salt of My Tears. Randy Halberstadt at the piano, Phil Sparks on bass, Clarence Acox on drums, and Milo Peterson guitar. This concert's coming to you on Jazz Northwest from 88.5 KPLU.
We are very happy to play another of the pieces that Miss Lake brought with her from New Orleans. This was recorded in 1929 by Bubber Miley, the trumpet player I'm sure many of you know was the famous trumpet player who pioneered that talking plunger sound on the trumpet in the Duke Ellington Orchestra. And then after he left the Ellington Orchestra, formed his own band called Bubber Miley and the Mileage Makers. So from that 1929 recording, here is Black Mariah, Black Mariah.
Jazz of the Harlem Renaissance, as performed by the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra and Misha Lake, the vocalist. This concert was recorded at the Kirkland Performance Center last June, part of a pair of concerts presented at Nordstrom Recital Hall at Benaroya Hall on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon at the Kirkland Performance Center. The next pair of concerts to be presented by the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra will take place this first weekend of November, when special guest Branford Marsalis will be joining them in concert. November 3rd at Benaroya Hall, and November 4th, the matinee concert at Kirkland Performance Center. For more information on the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, see their website, srjo.org. You're listening to Jazz of the Harlem Renaissance, an acoustic jazz concert presented by the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra. Once again, here's Robin Lloyd to set the scene of Jazz of the Harlem Renaissance.
New York in the 1920s was home to more blacks than any other northern city, including Chicago. Most of them lived uptown in the beautiful old neighborhood called Harlem. It was the home of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the Urban League, and Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association. Writers James Weldon Johnson, Langston Hughes, Zora Neale Hurston, and more. Thus, there were scholars and civil rights activists all living in Harlem, and many artists who were examining what it meant to be black and American, part of what would come to be called the Harlem Renaissance. The poet James Weldon Johnson wrote, "It is a Mecca for the sightseer, the pleasure seeker, the curious, the adventurous, the enterprising, the ambitious, and the talented of the entire Negro world." Jazz musicians, of course, were drawn to Harlem, too. There were plenty of theater and nightclub and dance hall jobs, and Broadway and the record companies only a subway ride away. Duke Ellington remembered, "Harlem, in our minds, had the world's most glamorous atmosphere. We had to go there."
That's Robin Lloyd giving us the flavor of the Harlem Renaissance. And here's another flavor of it. This is a tune that was written by Harry Revel and Mack Gordon from 1932, Underneath the Harlem Moon.
Kind of love that satisfies underneath the Harlem moon. There's no fields of cotton, cotton picking is taboo. We don't live in cabins like the old folks used to do. Our cabin is a penthouse up on St. Nicholas Avenue, underneath the Harlem moon. We just live on. We never blew up or lost. Tain't no sin to laugh and grin. That's why rhythm was born. We shout hallelujah every time we're feeling low. Every chic is dressed up like a Georgia gigolo. Some folks may call it madness, we call it hidey-ho. Underneath the Harlem Moon. Once we wore bandanas, now we wear Parisian hats. Once we were barefoot, now we're sporting shoes and spats. Once we were Republicans, but now we're Democrats. Underneath the Harlem Moon. There's no fields of cotton, cotton picking is taboo. All we pick is numbers, that includes you white folks too. Cause if we pick a winner, we pay our rents on any avenue. Underneath the Harlem Moon, we just thrive on dancing. Why be blue or forlorn? We just laugh, grin, let the landlord in. That's why step out, take charge, and it's so-and-so. We don't stop for no traffic when we're raring to go. Underneath the Harlem Moon. we're never blue or forlorn. It ain't no sin to laugh and grin. That's why rhythm was born. We shout hallelujah every time we're feeling low. Every cheek is dressed up like a Georgia gigolo. Some folks may call it madness, we call it hidey-ho.
While the Cotton Club was Harlem's most glamorous nightclub, the community's biggest and most beautiful ballroom was the Savoy. It covered an entire city block on Lenox Avenue between 140th and 141st Streets. It employed two bands at once, so the music need never stop. And it was so popular with dancers that its maple and mahogany dance floor had to be replaced every 3 years. Just 50 cents on weeknights, 75 cents on Sundays, the Savoy billed itself as the home of happy feet. All the best bands appeared there, and so did Harlem's most admired dancers. George Shorty Snowden was on the floor every night. In 1928, he came up with a new dance filled with improvised breakaways. He'd fling his partner out and do some improvised solo steps before bringing her back again, which came to be called the Lindy Hop, after the hero of the hour, Charles Lindbergh. Snowden's friendly rival was named George Twistmouth Ganaway. He was also a constant presence, his long legs, spectacular dancing, and distinctive way of dressing, all in blinding white from his shoes to the broad-brimmed hat that he never took off. That all helped to distract people from the disfigurement that prompted his unfortunate nickname. Snowden and Ganaway staked out the northeast corner of the Savoy for themselves and the handful of dancers they thought worthy of appearing with them. They called it the Cat's Corner, and any fumble-footed amateur who foolishly intruded was liable to have one of the chosen dance by and casually shatter his ankle with a kick. Savoy dancers were serious. In his 1959 essay, The Golden Age, Time Past, Ralph Ellison recalled, "It's been a long time now, and not many remember how it was in the old days, not really. Not even those who were there to see and hear it as it happened, who shared night after night the mysterious spell created by the talk, the laughter, grease, paint, powder, perfume, sweat, alcohol, and food, all blended and simmering like a stew on the restaurant range, and brought to a sustained moment of elusive meaning by the timbres and accents of musical instruments. It was an exceptional moment, and the world was swinging with change." But let's not forget the 1930s were the time of the Great Depression. The go-go years of the 1920s gave way to a new sentimentality. We hope you're charmed by Mashiah Lake's rendition of the 1936 hit, You're Not the Kind.
Thank you.
like me. I'm just a song and a dance, your symphony. You say that you never would die. Never play fair, and you're just the kind of a man who will always be square. It's so hard to let you go, but it's only because I know that you're not the kind of a man for a girl like.
Thank you. When it came to sheer dedication to swinging quarter notes, which, after all, was at the root of the swing dance music, no one took a backseat to drummer Chick Webb. Many have testified to his evangelical fervor with which he drove his band and to his ear for young talent. Webb's early bands included saxophonist Benny Carter and Johnny Hodges and trumpeter Cootie Williams. Webb's exciting swing band also became known as the background for the young Ella Fitzgerald, whom Webb mentored after she had been turned down by Fletcher Henderson. But every band from Ellington on down shuddered at the thought of engaging Webb in the now legendary series of Savoy band battles. Survivors still talk about those battles in frankly epic terms. Duke Ellington had his own thing going on, of course. He had a steady gig at the Cotton Club for 4 years, and he used that venue to introduce much of his very own high-intensity swinging dance music, and also new sounds and more adventurous compositions. To close our concert, we bring you Ellington's 1931 hit from the Cotton Club, Rockin' in Rhythm, and I'll take this opportunity to say on behalf of the band and our guests and our board, we want to thank you, all of you, for coming and celebrating this wonderful music with us. Thank you so much.
Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra concluding this concert, Jazz of the Harlem Renaissance, recorded on June 17th at the Kirkland Performance Center. And we just heard Rockin' in Rhythm, 1931 composition of Duke Ellington, wrapping up this concert of Jazz of the Harlem Renaissance, an all-acoustic jazz concert at the Kirkland Performance Center. The next concert by the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra takes place the first weekend of November. Leading off the new season is the great New Orleans saxophonist Branford Marsalis, who will guest with the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra on November 3rd at Nordstrom Recital Hall at Benaroya Hall and at the Kirkland Performance Center Sunday afternoon, November 4th at 3 p.m. The concert is billed as New Orleans Night Out, and the NEA Jazz Master and three-time Grammy winner joins the All-Star Band. Music from his own hometown, from the early brass bands to Louis Armstrong, Sidney Bechet, and King Oliver to modern boogaloo. For more information, see srjo.org. Thanks to Clarence Acox and Michael Brockman, who are co-directors of the Seattle Repertory Jazz Orchestra, and to the musicians of the orchestra for allowing us to record and broadcast their music on today's program. Thanks also to Howard Mostrom, who handled house sound at the Kirkland Performance Center and gave us assistance with recording this concert. I'm Jim Wilkie. This has been a Hatch Cover production exclusively for 88.5 KPLU. We'd like to mention a few things going on jazz-wise around the area this afternoon and looking ahead to next week with some more Earshot events. First of all, this afternoon, the Eastside Jazz Club is having its annual extravaganza at the Marriott Courtyard Hotel in Bellevue starting at 2 o'clock with Susan Pascal's Salute to Cal Jader called Soul Sauce opening this afternoon. Also on the same bill is California singer Kathy Cousins, and she'll be doing some music from her Salute to the Ladies of Cool, Chris Connor, Anita O'Day, June Christie, and Julie London. And that's this afternoon starting at 2 o'clock in Bellevue at the Marriott Courtyard Hotel for the Eastside Jazz Extravaganza. Also this afternoon, the Black Swan Classic Jazz Band is playing for the Puget Sound Traditional Jazz Society at the Ballard Elks. Tonight, some concerts coming up with the Earshot Jazz Festival, including Leon Loicki Trio and Dossi Mas at the Seattle Art Museum Auditorium. Also, Gregoire Marais is playing at Tula's tonight and Monday night, and he's a wonderful harmonica player who has been appearing as a sideman in many other people's recordings, but he's stepping out on his own now. You can hear him tonight and Monday night at Tula's. Bobby Previtt's Silent Way Project and Wayne Horvitz's Conduction Monday night at the Triple Door, the Bishnorchestra, and Neil Welch Tuesday at the Royal Room. Annette Cohen Ensemble Wednesday at Poncho Concert Hall at Cornish College. Tamarindo and Tom Varner Quartet Thursday at Poncho Concert Hall at Cornish. And Philip Glass will be at the Kirkland Performance Center Thursday night. J.D. Allen on Friday. And Susan Pascal's Soul Sauce will play at Tula's on Friday and Saturday night next weekend of the Earshot Jazz Festival, which runs through November 3rd and 4th. For more information, see the website earshot.org. Ticket information there as well. Jazz Northwest continues here with a sample from vibist Susan Pascal. This is something we recorded several years ago at Tula's. Susan playing vibes with her quartet, including Dave Peterson on guitar, Chuck Deerdorf bass, and Mark Ivester on drums. This is a piece of music that I believe was in Cal Jader's repertoire. It's a tune that was written by the pianist Ray Bryant. It's called Cubano Chant.
I don't need $1 million to make my dreams come true. Baby, all I need is you. And I don't need no fortune teller to tell my troubles to. Baby, all I need is you. Don't need the sun, don't need the stars, for at last I realize I found the sun, I found the stars shining in your eyes. Now I'm right at the gates of heaven, and I could walk right through. Baby, all I need is you. Teller to tell my troubles to. Baby, all I need is you. Don't need the sun, don't need the stars, for at last I realize I found the sun, I found the stars shining in your eyes. Now I'm right at the gates of heaven, and I could walk right through. Baby, all I need is you. Don't need the moon, don't need the stars. Baby, all I need is you.
A couple of the artists who are performing this afternoon in Bellevue at the Bellevue Eastside Jazz Club Extravaganza, at the Eastside Jazz Club Extravaganza, taking place at the Bellevue Courtyard Marriott. We just heard Kathy Cousins singing All I Need Is You from her CD To the Ladies of Cool, and before that, Susan Pascal on Vibes with Dave Peterson, Chuck Dierdorf, and Mark Ivester, and Cubano Chant. I'm Jim Wilkie. Thanks for listening this afternoon to Jazz Northwest. I'll be back next Sunday at a new time for our survey of the regional jazz scene. Next week, Jazz Northwest moves 1 hour later. It'll be heard at 2 o'clock on Sunday starting next week. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU Tacoma, Seattle, 90.1 KPLI Olympia, and 89.3 KVIX Port Angeles, Victoria, NPR News and All That Jazz, a community service of Pacific Lutheran University.